If you have your Bibles, I would ask that you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as we continue again in our series from this great letter that Paul wrote to this church in Corinth, this church that was an absolute mess. And because of their mess, not displaying their great Savior. That is what the church is supposed to do, isn't it? To display to the outside world, to those who don't know Him, the glory of God and how famous we make Him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to start with verse 16 and finish the chapter. Follow along with me. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or of the present or of the future, all are yours. And you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. I remember one time early on as a follower of Jesus Christ, I was talking to a guy, and I remember specifically his name was Jeff. And I'll never forget this conversation, but I was knocking on doors, and I knocked on this guy's door, and Jeff came to the door. And I began to just share with him why I was at the door and my desire to just really just welcome him to the neighborhood. And if he didn't have a church, that if he was definitely invited to the church I was going to. But primarily, my desire was that I would make a friend, and by God's grace, I might share the gospel with him. Well, as I was sharing with him, Jeff began to tell me, and really sarcastically, Jeff began to say, listen, I believe in God, but my church is the outdoors. He didn't like the symbolic church, the gathering of people, for any number of reasons. First of all, he just didn't feel welcomed. He didn't feel like it was a place where he could really worship God. And so for Jeff, his worship and his church was outdoors. Now, as a new believer in Jesus Christ, I loved to go to service. I loved to go to the gathering of believers. We call it church. I did not want to miss any Sunday. I felt like I was drinking from a fire hydrant. I wanted to hear the word, I wanted to hear it preached, and I wanted to be around other followers of Jesus Christ. I just couldn't wait. I even went on Wednesdays. That was supposed to be a joke. All right, wake up, people. I was there because I wanted to be there. Not because I had to be there, like I was checking a box. I wanted to be there. The music we sang, so thankful for Matt. It was uplifting. It was convicting. It was theological. There was so much that I enjoyed about the gathering on a Sunday morning. Even though I couldn't sing worth a lick, it's That's why I sit up front, by the way. You guys can't hear anything that's coming out of my voice. I walked away from this guy with no answer. I was such a new believer. I just couldn't believe he didn't want to come to service on Sunday. When he said his church was outdoors, I left with just like, what? Why wouldn't someone want to go to a gathering? I guess there might be many reasons why someone wouldn't come. Maybe he didn't feel welcome. Maybe he saw divisiveness in the church. Maybe he saw ugliness within the church, and he didn't feel like it was a home. HBC, do you know that feeling when you've been on vacation and when you walk into your own home? Now, doesn't everyone love vacation? But there is something about walking in your own home, sleeping in your own bed, your own pillow, in your own sheets. It feels good. Am I the only one that feels that way about home? The church needs to be that. It needs to be a place where people can call it home. For unbelievers, it needs to be a place where they acknowledge God is in there. As we'll read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 later on. But let me read these verses as unbelievers are speaking of the gathering of believers in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says this. But if all prophesy, it means proclaiming the word of God, preaching, and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all and is called to an account by all. The secrets of his heart is disclosed. And so by falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. That's what this place needs to be. We call it home. To an unbeliever, a desire to call something home. In Corinth, we've learned in the first three chapters that the church had become a mess. Division and disunity was rampant in this church. They left sin unchecked, and because of that became a very divisive and ugly church. Coming off verse 16, we see that Paul says, do you not know that you are God's temple? Last week we learned that you is plural. He's referring to the church in Corinth individually. Believers in Christ coming together as one. Paul's calling out the church in Corinth and explaining to them that their division and their disunity is causing a mess of the testimony of Jesus Christ. In this passage that we talk about this morning in verses 16 through 23, I believe Paul is saying, what are we making of our home? What are we making of this place? Is it a place we want to come to? Hearing things maybe we don't want to hear, but need to hear? Sitting around the table, whether it's the communion table, and asking God to do a work in our hearts? That's what this place needs to be. Corinth had missed the boat. They no longer were displaying the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Paul is coming to them and saying, listen, the church, the bride of Christ, is a true representation of the church of God. And so be that testimony. Be that testimony to both the people within the church and those outside the church. So this morning, I just want to draw out a few things on why we can call this church home. Why this is a comfortable place to be. Not comfortable in that we are comfortable in the sense that we can just get away with sin, but knowing that this is a place where I know I can be to hear of the gospel, to hear what Jesus is doing in this community. So let me draw out just a few things. What makes the church a good home? The first thing that I see, it's found verses 16 all the way to 20, is that this place needs to be a safe place. What makes your home comfortable? What makes your home? It's that it's safe. You know when you go into your home, it's a safe place. You can do what you want to do. Paul says, is the Corinth a safe place? Look at verses 16 through 20 with me again. Do you not know that you, meaning the church, are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, sacred, and you are that temple. He's pointing out the church. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness, folly, moronic with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. What makes this place a home? What makes this place safe? We don't compromise the truth of Scripture. See, they were deceiving themselves. They were allowing the world to teach the church. Remember in Corinth, they were all about the Greek philosophers. All about being able to explain God and explain why things happened. And so what they were allowing is the wisdom of this world to teach the church. What Paul is saying here is let no one deceive yourselves. Worldly wisdom does not teach God. What makes this home safe is that we believe the truth of God's word. Let no one deceive himself. The Lord knows the thoughts. He knows the thoughts of every person in this room, and he will expose those through the truth of his scriptures. We don't need the world to tell the church how to behave. We don't need what the worldly wisdom of this world is to teach the church how to respond to sin. Worldly wisdom, the scripture says, brings division and disunity. The world says that God couldn't possibly do something like become a man and die for the sins of the world. Remember back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 2, they're trying to explain the message of the cross. And what Paul says is, listen, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. We don't have to explain what is unexplainable. God will draw those to himself. And his word will draw people to himself. The church no longer becomes a safe place when we go to the world for this truth. In the Corinth church, they were deceiving themselves. They tried to get the world to explain the church and explain how to deal with the church, and they were deceived. the church in Corinth no longer became a safe place to be because they were no longer relying on the truth of the Scriptures and the truth of God's Word. Isn't there something safe knowing that we're getting the truth even if we don't want to hear it? There's safety in truth. If you've ever walked into someone else's home and told them how you could make their home better. If you're going into someone's home and said, "I would put your furniture over here, it would look a lot better." How would you respond to that advice? If the outside world, by their wisdom, is telling the church about God and how we should respond, it's not going to work. If the church of God elevates the world's wisdom above God's word, we will have a low value for the Scriptures. And God will catch us in our craftiness. That's what it says. A proper view of our need for God and His Word makes this a safe place. High Point values the Scriptures. We come here to teach the Scriptures, God's Word. Things we don't like to hear, but things we need to hear. Encouragement, admonishment, but it's truth. That's what makes this place a safe place. The truth of God's word in Corinth had become worldly wisdom, and God said that makes it unsafe. The second thing that I see, it's really found in verse 21 and 22. Why this church, why our church should be a good home is not only it's a safe place because of the truth of the Scriptures, but it's because we have everything that we need. Not what we want. Look at verse 21 and 22 with me. "So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours." My wife started to do this thing called kamari. Okay? It's a Japanese word. I think we even made it up. No, we didn't make it up. Anyway, this Japanese thing that we're doing, and listen, I'm not criticizing Japanese. What it is you are decluttering your home. Let me tell you, this decluttering of our home since July has absolutely worked. Now, I cannot tell you that my garage is decluttered because all the stuff that was in our house is now in my garage. But I will eventually declutter the garage as well. I need to borrow someone's truck. Talk to me after service. We have clothes. We have furniture. We have any number of things that we are decluttering from our house. To make us realize what we need and not what we want. We hold these items, this is what this book tells us. We hold these items and we say, "Does this thing make me happy? If not, you get rid of it." Now that's unfair because I got a lot of shoes and stuff that they become like mowing shoes and any number of things. But this system works because it declutters your house from things that you want and things that you need. In the Corinth church, because of their view of human wisdom and eloquent speaking, it led to divisions on whom they should follow: Apollos, Paul, Cephas. And because of all these things, their house became very cluttered. It was beginning to deal and talk about things that were not part of God's plan for the church. This disunity and divisions. Their house was a mess, and it needed to be decluttered. What Paul is saying in this Corinth church is they have everything they need. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, each of them probably took a part. Obviously, Paul planted the church. Apollos did the watering of the church. Each of these individuals played a part in the church in Corinth, which was exactly what the church needed at that time. What Paul is saying is listen, every person within this church is exactly what the church needed at that time. Whether it was Paul at the beginning, or Paulus in the middle, or Cephas converting people and sending them to Corinth, we don't know what Peter's emphasis in Corinth was, but what he's saying is that Corinth church had everything that they needed for godliness. It includes your pastor, but it includes every single person in this church. Every person who has proclaimed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is necessary for this church. It has everything we need. This church doesn't need anything more than what God wants to give it. And whenever we're wanting more than what we need, disunity and divisions will come. And then this place no longer becomes a home. It becomes a house divided. When we come together in this home, and we come united under one purpose, which is to glorify God, this place becomes home. The church has everything we need. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 speaks of this, what we have as individuals in Christ. Knowing that we have everything we need, we are co-heirs with Christ. Think about that for a second. Individually in Christ, you have everything you need in Him. Jesus calls you a co-heir. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified in Him. Listen, when you understand you have everything you need in Christ, what else do you need? What else do we want? The church needs to be a safe place. The church needs to be a place where we all are united under one purpose, and that is that we all need Jesus. That's it. And God has given us everything that we need to glorify Him. Everything we need to make Him famous. All things for today and all things for tomorrow. Paul continues this in 2 Corinthians as he expounds on it even more in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 15 and 16. Read these verses with me. For it is all for your sake. All for your sake, follower of Christ. So that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving. What's that? Gratitude for what you have. Not what you want, what you have in Christ. And more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. When the church realizes what they have, not what they want, this place becomes a home for those who know Christ and those in the outside world knowing something's missing. Are you found in Him? Are you found left wanting? Does it mean that this won't be hard? That the Christian life should be a cakewalk? Listen, what he's saying is if you have everything in Christ, as you suffer, you give glory to God. Whatever you're going through today, whatever you're going through tomorrow, is to the glory of God because you have everything you need in Him. At High Point Church, we don't believe in a prosperity gospel. That by believing in Jesus Christ, by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, that somehow you're going to get something. Maybe a better job. Maybe a better relationship with your husband or your wife. Whatever you think you get as a result of putting your faith in Christ is not what we teach at High Point Church. We teach the true gospel, which is that you, a sinner fallen before a holy God, are in great need. Because of our sin, we are absolutely separated from a holy God. And Jesus Christ became man to die on a cross for our sins. To give us hope, to give us eternal life, to remove the wrath that absolutely every one of us deserve. Isn't that enough? Isn't that enough? If you're here today, and if you put your trust in anything other than what Jesus Christ has done for you on the cross, then you will face the wrath of God. I don't care if you're baptized as a baby or go to church on Sunday. If your salvation is based on anything other than Jesus' finished work, you have added something to the gospel, and it no longer becomes the gospel. Jesus aims to give you everything you need, not what you want. You need the forgiveness of sins. And I would persuade you to put your faith in Him today. And to those of us who have put their faith in Him, then this place, this home, this gathering on Sunday should be constantly proclaiming to everyone, we have everything we need. Come to our home and learn about knowing everything that you need. The last thing, and shortly, or quickly, I promise. Not only is our home supposed to be a safe place because we're delivering the scriptures, we're delivering the truth of God's word. We're not deceiving ourselves by letting the world teach us what God says. We are allowing the Word and the Scripture to teach us what God says. Not only is He teaching us we have everything we need in this home, not what we want, but finally and lastly, what makes this a great home is it is a debt-free home. Let me explain what that means here. Look at verse 23. And you, again, it's plural, he's referring to the church, and you are Christ's. And Christ is God's. Listen, God has given us this home. And you cannot buy it. You cannot buy this home. It's already been paid for by the death and burial and sacrifice and blood of Jesus Christ. His death and his burial and his resurrection makes this a debt-free home. He paid the debt. He paid the mortgage. If all would repent, you are welcome to this home. Because we belong to God. We are one with God. Look at Paul's writing in Philippians chapter 2 in reference to this. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in spirit, any affection, and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than ourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. This oneness we have with Christ should be a picture of what a great home we have. A debt-free home. A debt paid by the Son of God. A home that is welcome to anybody who would repent. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we read of seven churches with all kinds of good and bad things happening within that church. In Ephesus, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, we learn about this church in Ephesus. They had forgotten their first love. In Smyrna, we learn that they are a suffering church being persecuted for Christ. He has great things to say about the church in Smyrna. We learn about the church in Pergamum. And we know that they're allowing false teachers, it says in Revelation 2:14. I'm going to speed through these a little bit. But we learn about these kinds of churches that are being demonstrated throughout the world. Pergamum was allowing false teachers in. Thyatira was allowing false teachers in. Sardis had a reputation of being alive, but they were spiritually dead, it says. Philadelphia was a little church, but they had great power. The church of Laodicea was a lukewarm church that Christ wanted to spit out. What kind of church is HPC? Is it a home? Is it a place where people are welcomed? Is it a place that's safe? Because you know that the scriptures are being taught. Whether it's on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or in our small groups, the truth of God's word is being preached. Is this a safe place? Do we believe it's a church that has everything it needs and not what it wants? Is it a church that is welcome to any who would repent because it's already been paid for? You don't have to work for this home. Are we safe place? Do we have what we need? And is it God's? Is the church God's? Because if it is, if it being the church is God's, then we should be making him famous. The Corinth church no longer became a safe place, and Paul was speaking into their lives. May High Point Church be a place that you can call home for his glory. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your work. Jesus, we thank you for your death, your burial, and your resurrection. The gospel, Lord. I'm praying, Lord, for those who have not yet put their faith and trust in you. They are still going through this world thinking that somehow they've earned entrance into heaven. That somehow, because of what they've done, you will let them into heaven. God, I pray that under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, as you are drawing them, that they would realize they have a great need, and that is the forgiveness of their sins. That they would repent and turn to you. And they would confess that, Jesus, you are Lord and Savior. And they would surrender their lives to you for your glory. And then, Lord, I do pray for your church at High Point. May we truly be a home where people come not to hear maybe what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. So that, God, we are a place not what the world tells us to be, but what you tell us to be. God, we thank you for your work. We thank you for your church. May we be the bride that you can be pleased with here in Altoona and wherever, God, you would cause us to bring the gospel for your glory. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.